happen, and to learn that as part of the comprehensive plan it's gone away is unfortunate.
So with regards to park and rides, we looked at basically every place we could think of to put a park and ride. We wanted to identify every place that might be suitable because it gives us the biggest amount of information on potential impacts. And now the next step is to go through and right-size those park and rides. And there are a number of factors that we'll be going through. This evaluation is one of our early steps. And here are the locations that are in the environmental impact statement, the places that we identified. They're spread throughout the alignment, which was something actually that was very important to Portland, that we were able to capture people throughout the line. So this had demonstrated 7 possible sites and over 4,000 spaces. But you can see some of them have like 50 or 100. We've got a lot of work to do to figure out what the right number is and the right place. So park and rides in Portland, on the lower right is a concept perhaps around Southwest 53rd, but on the left are the types of things that we will be looking at. How do those stations lay out? How good is the bus connectivity? How many spaces should we provide? How do people access it? And what is their potential for transit-oriented development, or TOD? So this is a one sketch, a concept that could happen at Southwest 53rd. On the right in blue is a park and ride structure, a structured lot that could serve up to 900 vehicles. In the center would be, we're imagining some sort of plaza, perhaps where drop-off can happen, perhaps where a shuttle could be, perhaps where the bike station would be. And then the brown squares on the left are, just at our initial take, opportunities for transit-oriented development, such as housing. This is a rendering of the Barber Transit Center, our other location for park and ride consideration. It, too, is reflecting a little bit of a concept about the West Portland Town Center in the future, and we would envision this place, if it continues to serve as a park and ride and a bus hub, to have development that better serves the community. So we're up to a lot of work. In addition to those elements that I've talked about, we are proceeding with the jurisdictional transfer of the highway, as I mentioned. Metro has a heavy lift to complete the historic and cultural resources evaluations, which actually go beyond the end of the FEIS period to satisfy state law. And Metro will be establishing a land use final order, or a LUFO. And this is a single land use action for this particular project, just as we have had on all other light rail projects. And it expedites the appeal process when someone has reason to appeal a land use action. It circumvents some of the places so they can get directly to LUBA.
Yeah. Land Use Board of Appeals.
Thank you.
And LUFO is?
Land Use Final Order. So the LUFO defines the locations that the project is going to be located in, and it does nothing to eliminate our local land use approvals and permits. What I can tell you is the orange line. In Portland alone, we issued over 100 permits. I'm kind of embarrassed to say. Land use actions, type 2s, type 3s, design commission, landmarks commission. And we ended up with a beautiful product. The mall in front of Landmarks and Design Commission also went through its own land use processes. And I'm aware that there are concerns that the LUFO might preclude us from having the type of facilities that we want to have on this project. And I feel very confident, for what it's worth, that it does not preclude. I think we've got beautiful systems that demonstrate that.
How does that work when we haven't decided some of the alignments?
So the alignments will ultimately be based on what the steering committee adopts throughout this next process. We've done an initial take on it, and it sets a broad frame for the entirety of the project.
Well, and just to add to that, Teresa, just about every one of these land use final orders for other projects in the past have also been amended. So the Metro Council can amend the LUFO to be consistent with the project. The project really defines the land use final order area, and it's likely to be amended at either the end of the final environmental impact statement when more decisions about the project have been made, potentially again at the time of a final funding agreement, grant agreement with the Federal Transit Administration to be sure that the land use final order is in compliance with, you know, is only defining the area of the project that the region is building.
Thank you. That's helpful. One of the concerns I've heard from community members is that community members will not have standing unless that they have participated prior to November 15th. Is that? I'm seeing you shake your head.
Not true. So we will be going through. If you want, there's a hearing on November 15th. Everybody should be aware of that. But once we're not constructing anything until probably 2023. As we do, we will come in for the same local land use applications, the approvals, and that does not circumvent that process at all. And we've proven that over and over and over. Design Commission, we have lots of testimony. They weigh the factors. They come to a decision. It moves on.
But then would get appealed to the Land Use Board of Appeals, and my understanding is that the LUFO goes to the Land Conservation and Development Commission.
No, not exactly right. But
no.
First thing, if someone thought that based on the preponderance of information that the Design Commission failed to acknowledge something, that would first appeal it to City Council, get a chance. After that, if City Council, someone wanted to appeal that, it would go straight to the Land Use Board of Appeals. So it doesn't go through all the other steps. It doesn't end up at the State Supreme Court.
But is the Land Conservation and Development Commission involved at all?
And the Land Use Conservation and Development Commission adopted 13 criteria last year that are based on your comprehensive plan, City of Tigard comprehensive plan, Tualatin, that the decision that Metro will make is based on. So there are findings that says the alignment that the steering committee said move forward with, this is what we think the project is, they are weighed against those 13 criteria for the land use action.
Okay. So, I do want to get to public testimony, and I'll have time before November 15th, but it does seem to me that some of those criteria are still pending. We haven't done some of the impacts or traffic analysis. But we can discuss that later. Thank you.
So, Teresa, how much longer do we
have? I'm sorry, I don't have very much left. So okay. I'll just say, so here's some information on historic resources, a lot of work left to do. Today, you'll be asked to accept, adopt the preferred alignment, and direct the project team through TriMet to create a conceptual design report, address issues raised, implement the Ross Island Bridgehead process outlined in the Memorandum of Understanding, tell us to work on developing the local match financing strategy, and have concurrent reports on affordable housing and our progress toward meeting those goals. With that, we are ready for invited testimony.
Okay, we are going to take a 5-minute recess.
Thank you.